Well, let's take out our notes and take a look at a brand new series called Designed for Not Just Life, Designed for the Abundant Life. You know, everything in life, everything that you see around you, everything that was created started off as a design, as an idea in someone's mind before it was created, before it was produced. I mean, think about it. Even the chairs you're sitting on, it began as an idea with a design in someone's mind, and then it was constructed to be where you're sitting on it now. I mean, take a look at this set design. It started off with a concept in someone's mind, and then it was transferred into a construction project, and we see this beautiful set behind us. Our lives as well, what we look like, began in someone's mind, began in God's mind. He knew what you looked like before you were born. That's why some of us are tall and some of us are short. Some of us are pastors with hair that doesn't turn black so easily, and some of us pastors lose hair once in a while. But I'll leave that alone for now. You know, we are who we are because of a design in someone's mind. Life is the same way. There is a particular design of life that God has already created. He's already mapped out. He's already drafted a blueprint that He wants us to follow. And if we catch on to this design, we will live this abundant life that He talks about. But somewhere along the way, it's almost like the world got involved with God's design. A big culprit of this, I think, is something called infomercials. Ever heard of that? It's not where you have these 30-second ad spots nowadays. You have 30-minute programs where they parade in front of you all the products that you need to buy and apply to your life to make your life better. And we see it all the time on the television. And, you know, they know exactly what we're looking for. They know exactly what attracts our attention. Guess what the top three are? Money, how to make money quicker, how to get more cash in your pocket. Health and fitness, how to look better, how to lose weight faster. And get this, women, cosmetics. That's a top-selling product on infomercials. And it's turned the infomercial world into a multi-billion dollar industry. And it's not a matter of us having this free money that we can just dispense with and we can just throw around. You know what it's really telling us? It's telling us that people are looking for something to change their life. People are looking for something that's going to improve their lives. It's going to give them a quick fix to their dissatisfaction with life, to their low esteem and low self-value that they see themselves as. They're looking for a quick fix to fill their emptiness. And we see it in statistics nationwide. Divorce, we see the drug scene increasing, we see eating disorders, we see sexual immoralities going on. People are looking for something more than what they have now to add on to their life. You know what it tells me? That we live in a hurting generation, seeking answers, seeking solutions, and we're allowing the world to draft this blueprint for our lives. But God has a different kind of a plan, doesn't He? A different blueprint. Take a look at the top of your notes and let's read John 10:10 together. Ready? Go. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. You know, that was the Lord's purpose in coming here. His whole purpose was to bring us back to this master blueprint that God has already designed, that He's already laid out in front of us. To bring us back to the essential choices that we must make in order for us to live life to the fullest, to live life in abundance. But it requires us to do one thing, make a choice. Would you write in that bullet point? An abundant life requires us to make a choice. It requires us to make a choice out of all the different things that are being thrown our way. And it's not easy to make choices in today's world, is it? You know, take just buying a toy. Joy and I adopted a little boy from China. He's like 3, going to turn 4. Before he came into our life, we had no reason to step into a toy store. And so now here we find ourselves taking little Jared to Toys R Us. And that place is just cluttered with toys. And when Jared stepped in there, he went crazy. He went up and down the aisles and he wanted everything. You know what we bought? Nothing. We're so flabbergasted by the choices that were available to us. Well, maybe you think buying orange juice might be easier. I mean, I went to the market to look for orange juice. And I found on the orange juice stand, Tropicana orange juice. And I found a selection of pure premium. But they also have Tropicana Homestyle. Tropicana Light and Healthy with Calcium. Tropicana Light and Healthy with Pulp. Tropicana Light and Healthy with some pulp. With low pulp. With no pulp. Seriously, Tropicana Fiber. Tropicana Low Acid. Tropicana Healthy Heart. Tropicana Healthy Kids. Tropicana Immunity Defense. You know what I did? I went to Minute Maid. Minute Maid has Minute Maid Country Style. Minute Maid Extra Vitamin C and E and Zinc. Minute Maid Heartwise. Home Squeeze Style. Home Squeeze Style with Calcium and Vitamin D. Minute Maid Kids Plus. Minute Maid Low Acid. Original. Orange Passion. Orange Tangerine. Original Plus Calcium. Minute Maid Pulp Free. I got so frustrated, I bought water and I went home. You know, we can get bombarded with so many choices and just the mundane, everyday things of life that we don't know how to make the choices. Think about life's choices. The important things that we need to choose from so that we can begin to live this abundant life. How do we make those choices? But it's so critical that we do make a choice. Because listen, folks, if we don't choose the life that we want to live, life by its circumstances will choose that for us. And when we make choices, whatever choice we make, it will affect not only our lives, it'll affect those around us as well. Deuteronomy 30:19 says this. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. See, the Lord is saying, I've laid everything out in front of you. I've laid out the blueprint. I've already drafted it. You have everything you need to live life abundantly. Now, choose life. Make a choice. Because it's going to affect how you live today. It's going to affect your descendants that follow after you. And this whole series is about exploring the facets of God's master blueprint and His design for our life and the choices that we need to make if we're going to experience life in the fullness of it and in abundance. And it is an interactive series. As Pastor Rod talked about, that pamphlet that's in your hand, it does walk you through what we believe are those facets of the abundant life. And it will require of you, after the service, after you hear the message, to now take the next step and get involved somewhere or check off where are you in this walk in the abundant life. That spiritual growth card, it's almost like a spiritual health report card. Jared is going to attend preschool next month, and we get this health vaccination card, and we have to check off what he's been vaccinated on to show that he's healthy. Same with that card. Whatever you hear in the messages, go ahead and check that off. Where are you in your walk? And if you need to participate in something more that's going to grow you even deeper, check out the workshops and the conferences, and we'll have the dates for those, we'll have registration for those, so we can all begin to walk in the abundant life. But the first facet of this whole master plan begins with the most essential. It's going to be the most eternal decision you ever make, but the most essential decision, and that's saying yes to Jesus Christ. See, for some of us, it may be saying yes for the first time, to enter into a relationship with Him. And it's not going to be easy for some of you. It may be like that sketch that you saw on the video, where you may feel very comfortable where you are in life right now, but yet someone is presenting to you an option that you choose to get out of that seat. It may not feel comfortable taking a first step, but it is so essential if you're going to walk and experience the abundant life, life to its fullest potential. And it requires you to make that choice. Nobody can do it for you. God is not going to force you, but you need to make that choice. For some of us who've already said yes to a relationship with the Lord, saying yes also means continuing that relationship and growing even deeper into a relationship with Him. See, it's all about developing this relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether it's a new relationship, or it's a continuation and a deepening of that relationship with Him. It's all about the relationship, because out of that relationship, number one, would you write in your notes, out of that relationship, it makes available to us what belongs to Him. Everything that the Lord says that He has available for us will not become available to us until and unless we say yes, until we enter that relationship. See, Paul prayed for this and encourage the Ephesians to do the same, to develop our relationship with the Lord. Let's pray. Let's read Ephesians 1 together. Ready? Go. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His inheritance, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Who has the hope? Who has the riches of inheritance and the power? Us who believe. Those who say yes to the Lord. Those who say, yes, I want to follow in your ways. I want to be able to enter into that relationship with you. That's when we understand the hope of His calling. That's when we understand how rich the blessings are and the inheritance is where He has reserved in heaven for us. That's when we fully understand the power. The Lord has power. The Lord, when He was placed in the tomb, He didn't stay there. He was brought out again. How? By the resurrection power. And that same power is available for us who believe. You know, sometimes I don't think we appreciate the true magnitude of our God. Sometimes I think we pray about Him, we sing about Him, we read about Him, we see His name and the words being printed, but do we truly appreciate the realness of His promise, the realness of His inheritance? See, when we don't appreciate it, we have this void in our heart that we're trying to fill with something. We're born with a void in our hearts. And when we don't appreciate the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of His promises, and we don't fill our hearts with His promises, guess what we're filling it with, folks? The lure of the world. And that's why commercial slogans have more credibility, I think, than the promises of God. And we get so caught up in that, and we move in that direction rather than staying with the blueprint that God has printed out for us. But God is a real God. God is a real God. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
He's a real God. He's full of power. He's full of promises. God is not an infomercial God, the kind of God that we can buy and try and put it on the shelf if it doesn't work and then pull it out whenever we want to use it again. He is not an infomercial God. He is a God that is living and alive, and He's real. Read together with me what 1 Peter says. Ready? Go. Blessed be our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, when we begin to appreciate the magnitude of our God and all that He desires for us in our lifetime, man, you would want to be in a relationship with a God like that. You would want to grow into a deeper relationship with Him. Because the more we express the desire to develop that relationship, the more He will begin to appreciate who we are and the hearts that we have for Him. Because we're making that choice. You know, for Father's Day, I received the best gift in the world in this card. It's a Father's Day card that I received from my son, Brandon. He's 25 years old. He now serves as our youth pastor at a New Hope Leeward site. And although there was nothing that I would unwrap and cut any ribbons, the gift was in this card. He chose this card and wrote some words in there that I'll share with you, but kind of a cool thing he wrote here. He says, "To a great dad," and he inserted Pake, "from your son." He says, "I've learned so many things from you, like never pay full price, Pake. No lunch is ever free, Pake. And you're not a money tree, Pake. A little work won't kill me. Leave all your tools alone. And do not disturb his dadness while he is on the throne. You've taught me so much more than that. This list is just a sample. And when you did it, best of all, you did it by example." And this is what he wrote. "Thanks, Dad, for being a great example of a godly man to me. My faith has its roots in watching you live Jesus out in your daily life. Thank you for showing me that church isn't just something you do on Sunday, but it's part of your daily life. And as we begin this new adventure of a bigger family, I look forward to what I can learn from you and share with you in the years to come. Happy Father's Day. I love you so much, Dad." Brandon, that is priceless. There is no gift in the world that he could have bought. Yeah, thanks, Brandon. There is no gift. There is no amount of money that he would have spent for a gift for me to unwrap that could match and equal the words that he shared in there. You know why? Because what he said to me was that he wants to build a relationship with me. He wants to do life with me. He wants to be able to sit at my feet and listen to my counsel. And if I need to correct him, he'll listen to that. He wants to be so much like me that it just blesses my heart. And with a card like that and a heart and a desire that he has, man, I would, don't tell him this, but I would just give him the world. Whatever he wanted, I would give him that. Now, God's timing is always perfect, and so is mine. So I would want to give him everything. It may not happen in the time that he would want it, but I would want him to live the abundant life, and I would help him every step of the way to experience life to its fullness. And I would do everything I can because I know his heart is seeking to be just like mine. You know, my little son, Jared, 3 years old, going to turn four next month. He can't write a card. But he came over from China. He's been here like maybe 4 months now. Didn't know any English in China. But in that four-month period of time, he has learned so much on how to speak the English language. He's learned so much about how we do things, even our antics and the things that we do. You know, when he's talking to me now, and sometimes I'm busy doing something and I'm not paying attention to him, you know what he does? He stands over me and he goes, "Honey, honey." He is so much like his mom. You know, it scares me. I got two of these in my house now. But he wants to be so much like us. And the other day, he just cracked me up. I'm getting ready to go out. And he comes in the bathroom and he says, Jared, go doo-doo. I said, okay, yeah, go ahead. So he walks and he stops and he says, Jared, get newspaper. So he goes out, you know, because I read the paper all the time. And then he stopped and he said, Jared, get book. So he walks over and he gets his book and then he walks over to the toilet and he's this tiny little tyke. I mean, he's like in the 10th percentile of his age group. And so when he sits on the toilet, he has to kind of hold himself up. So he's holding his book and he looks at the toilet. He looks at me. He said, Daddy, help Jared on the toilet. I said, okay. So I put him up. He sits on the toilet and he starts reading his book just out of memory. Panda bear, what do you see? Daddy, come get book. Jared falling in the toilet. Slowly slipping in the toilet there. It was so funny. I saved him, of course. I pulled him out. But it just blessed my heart because I'm looking at this young little guy and I'm thinking, man, you want to be so much like us. Having come in from a different culture, I know it must have been so uncomfortable for him, so hard for him. But he was brought here. Now, he could have chosen to remain where he was, or he could have chosen to be a part of the family. And he's chosen to do everything that he can to learn the language, to be just like us. And that blesses me that I want to invest in him. Anything that he would want to develop and walk in the abundance of life, I will drop everything I'm doing just to help him get there. Same with our Heavenly Father. When he sees our heart is so willing and so wanting to walk in a relationship with him, I tell you, when you express that kind of heart to the Father, when you do your devotions and you read your Bible, I tell you, the words are going to come alive. Because the Holy Spirit sees your heart. He knows you want to grow from glory to glory into his image. The Holy Spirit will pour into your heart instruction, wisdom, correction, discipline. But he'll pour into your heart to lead you to the point where you are trying to begin to experience the abundant life. When you come into worship, if your heart is so much in love with the Lord and you want to walk in relationship with him, you won't need four or five songs to get you in the mood of worship. One song, boom, and you're there. You're worshiping God, and it's just the Holy Spirit, again, is just pulling out those things from your heart, and you're worshiping the Lord. When you pray, your prayers will be heard, your prayers will be answered. See, the Bible says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of one who is wanting to be in a right relationship with God, those are the prayers the Lord will hear and he will answer. Your relationships with your friends, with your family, between husband and wife, if your hearts are both fixed on the Lord and wanting to develop that relationship with him, your marriage and your relationship will go even deeper than you could ever imagine. And the list goes on and on and on. How do you get there? All of that, what I just explained to you, hinges on one thing. Your decision, your choice to say yes to Jesus Christ. Will He be your Lord and Savior? Will He be the one that you will adjust your lifestyle to so that you can begin to walk in His ways? You see, when you develop that relationship with the Lord, it also does this. Number two, it changes your perspective of your present situation. How are you looking at life? How are you viewing things in life? You will see life differently. You know, I believe that we live in this life where seeing is believing. That's the kind of world that we have, don't we? We won't believe until we see. And those who produce these infomercial products, they know that about consumers. And so in every infomercial program, they will parade in front of you not just the product, but testimonials of those who will say, man, I just made $11 million on this deal. Or I just increased my cash flow by $30,000. They want you to hear results because then they figure you'll believe in the validity of their product. Or they'll say, I just lost 261 pounds. And in fine print on the bottom, it says, results may vary. You know, they know that about us. They know that about the American society. See, the problem is when we apply that same mentality to our understanding of God. When I see the results of God, then I will believe. You know, we can hear and sing and pray about the promises of God. But yet, when we leave ourselves in a state of ambivalence, when we don't understand the assurance of the promises, that's when we live in a state of unrest. And we're not satisfied with life. And so we begin to seek other things. You know, I sometimes think, why is it so difficult to trust in a living and a real God? Why is it so difficult? You know, we seem to put more trust in a pilot who flies us over to Los Angeles and go to a theme park that supposedly is the happiest place on earth and think that our life will change because we'll hug an oversized mouse with oversized ears. You know, we put more trust in that than anything else. And I think that, and I like Disneyland, no problem. But we consider that our dream vacation. It'll change things in our lives. But guess what, folks? It really is a dream vacation because soon you're going to come back home to reality. Yeah, and reality is going to be expressed in the bill that you have to pay for this dream vacation. But why is it so hard to trust in a living God? You know why? Because of that principle that seeing is believing. See, with God, it's different. It's quite the opposite. It's believe, then you'll see. Believe in the power that the Lord has. Then you'll see the miracles. Then you'll experience the changes. Believe and start walking in that way. Then you'll see how life can be lived out to the abundance. Read with me Isaiah, what that says. Ready? Go. Do not be afraid, for I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, the flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your Savior. Write also there, Isaiah 26, verse 3, it talks about the steadfast mind. It says there, the man with a steadfast mind, it is he who the Lord will bring peace to. In other words, when your mind is steadfast, when you are not distracted from the promises, from the power and the authority of the Lord, when your mind and your life is fixed on Him, it is then that your life will be one of peace, because then you can trust Him. See, when you have a steadfast mind, you trust that He is who He says He is, that He will do what He says He will do, that He will fulfill the promises that He's promised you. And with that, you can begin to live life in confidence. It's not where you won't face problems, you will. I wish I could say that when we said yes to Jesus Christ, that all our problems vanish. No. You will hit trials day in and day out. But when you are walking that relationship with Him, He will show you how to respond to the problems. How to come against the challenges along the way. Read with me Galatians 5. Ready? Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. See, we apply the things of the Spirit to our everyday challenges because we trust in a living God, in the promises of our God, that He will fulfill these promises. And then we can apply the things of the Spirit to any challenge we face. And when I got saved, I had already experienced 2 divorces. And I got saved and developed a relationship with Joy, and I knew that, man, this is what the Lord was leading us towards, to get married. But I didn't have much, and I couldn't offer her much. And I talked about marriage with her, and I said, honey, I can't offer you anything. She says, no problem. I'm not marrying you for your money anyway. I'm not marrying you for your looks either. You know, I'm marrying you because I love you, and the Lord is saying that this is what we need to do. And so we got married, and we didn't have anything. We had maybe a pair of chopsticks. You know, I would look forward to potlucks because then I could save some of the chopsticks and build up my stash at home. You know, we had like a pair of a fork and spoon. We had a frying pan and 1 pot. That's it. We had no furniture. We ate sitting on the floor. I would lay out a bath towel, and that's where we ate, on the floor. We had a television set that was black and white. I call it my color TV because it would go in and out. About this small. That's all we had. A few weeks later, I thought, man, I got to upgrade this, man. This isn't good for her. So I went to Long's and got an emptied out toilet paper box, set it down, put the towel on that, and that was our table. That was our dinner table. But we knew what the Lord was leading us towards, and we had to trust in Him. We had to face those challenges with faithfulness, that if the Lord is going to provide, He will provide. We're going to believe in that. And I tell you, folks, God has provided every step along the way. Every step. When I made the move from the bench, being a judge, into the pastorship here, that was another faith kind of a move. How we were going to do it, I had no idea. But God has provided every step along the way. Every step. We have never been in need or want. God has provided what we needed. Now, this adoption of Jared, now that's a different story. You do not adopt a 3-year-old child when your combined age is over 100. Even though she pushed us over that age, that's okay. You know, you don't adopt a child at that age. It's crazy. But the Lord was saying, this is what you got to do. Now, adoption costs money. It costs money just to get there. You know, and so we're wondering, how is this going to work out? Well, the day the call came in for us to go over to China to pick up Jared, this man walked into my office, and he set down on my desk a check that covered all our traveling expenses, not just to China, but throughout China. The hotel expenses as well. He covered everything. I tell you, when you walk in faith, when you trust in the promises of God, when you don't allow the challenges to stand in your way, but you trust in Him and you begin walking and taking that step, God provides. He watches over you. You know, what is it that you're facing right now in this season of your life that's kind of holding you back from that? That's causing you to have some anxiety within you, some worries within you, frustrations. You know, when you say yes to anxiety and worry and anger and frustration, guess who you're saying no to? You're saying no to the promises of God. Shouldn't it be flipped around? That you say yes to the promises of God, yes to my relationship with Him, and no to everything else. It will not influence the way that I live my life. I will live by and stand on God's promises. See, it's all out of this relationship that you have with the Lord. Because it allows you to receive what belongs to Him that we can begin to experience. It helps you to get the right perspective of life and live through the challenges of life. And finally, 3, it allows us to accept His promises for our past. So we don't have to walk into this new life, this new season, carrying the baggage of our past. God wants us to shed that. He's not concerned with the past that we lived through. He's concerned about where you are now. What are you choosing to do now? And the life that you're going to choose for your future. See, the abundant life cannot be one where you're dragging with you the weights of your past. And God provides the avenue to release that. Let's read together Micah 7. Ready? Go. Who is a God who pardons sin and forgives? You will again have compassion on us. You will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That's the kind of God that we have. A God full of forgiveness and grace and mercy. A God of second, third, fourth chances if you need it. But he's the kind of God that is more interested in who you are now than what you had to walk through in your past. And it's about time, I think, we took note and appreciated the promise that he will get rid of our past so we can live the abundant life. Now, I could provide for you testimonies of so many who have experienced that forgiveness, but I want to read to you a story. It's one that really captures the essence of the heart of the Father. The story is about a little girl or young girl who grew up in a city called Traverse City, Michigan. And she was under the covering of parents who she considered to be quite conservative, that often overreacted to the nose ring that she would wear, or the music that she listened to, or they would criticize the length of her skirt. Often she was grounded for violating their house rules. And after the umpteenth argument that she had with her mom and dad, she had lost all respect and love for them. "I hate you," she screamed one day as she slammed the door to her room. And then she began to act out a plan that she had rehearsed over and over again in her mind. She ran away. She caught a bus to Detroit. Why Detroit? Well, in all the newspapers of Traverse City, they would report of the gang violence and the drugs. And she knew that her mom and dad would never go to Detroit to go and look for her. On her second day in Detroit, she met a man who drove the biggest car that she'd ever seen. He offered her a ride, bought her some lunch, and arranged a place for her to stay. He gave her some pills that made her feel better than she ever felt before. She was now convinced that her parents had kept her from all the fun, and this was the good life. Well, the good life continued for a month, and then two, and then a year. The man who she called boss began teaching her what men liked. And because she was underage, men paid a premium for her. He moved her to a penthouse where room service was available whenever she wanted. She thought about her folks back home, but oh, how boring that was. She never believed that she grew up there. And no one would ever recognize her with her now blonde hair, all the makeup on her face, and her body being pierced with all different kinds of jewelry. But after that first year, shallow signs of illness appeared, and she discovered how fast her boss had turned mean on her. Before she knew it, she was on the streets, not a penny to her name. Yeah, she turned a couple of tricks here and there, but didn't make much. In fact, all the money she made went to support her drug habit. As winter blew in, she found herself sleeping on metal grates outside of a department store, although it really wasn't sleeping. You see, for a teenage girl in downtown Detroit, you could never relax your guard. Dark bands began to circle her eyes, and her cough worsened. And then one night, all of a sudden, everything about her life looked different. No longer did she feel like a woman of the world. She felt like a little lost girl who was cold, frightened, pockets empty. She was hungry, and she needed a fix. She pulled the newspaper over her legs and shivered in the cold. And her mind raced back to her home in Traverse City. "God, why did I leave?" she said as the pain stabbed at her heart. "My dog eats better than I do now." And she now knew more than anything else, she wanted to go home. It's a cry of every human's heart to go home, isn't it? She made 3 straight calls to her home. She was connected 3 straight times to an answering machine. And she hung up without leaving a message for the first 2. But on the 3rd call, she left this message. "Dad, Mom, it's me. I was wondering about maybe coming home. I'm catching a bus up your way and it'll get there about midnight tomorrow. If you're not there, well, I guess I'll just stay on the bus until it hits Canada." That bus ride took 7 hours. And all during that time, she realized that there was a flaw to her plan. What if her parents were out of town and missed the message? Should she have waited another day or so until she could have talked to them? Or even if they were home, she should have just given them some time to overcome this shock. Her thoughts bounced around in her mind between these worries and the speech that she prepared for her father. "Dad, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. It's not your fault. It's all mine. Dad, can you forgive me? Dad, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong." And she rehearsed it over and over. And each time she rehearsed it, her throat would grow more and more tight. The bus finally rolled into the station. And the driver announced, "15 minutes, folks. That's all we have." 15 minutes to decide her life. She checked herself in a compact mirror, smoothed out her hair, licked the lipstick off her teeth, and noticed the tobacco stains on her finger, and wondered if her parents would ever see it. That is, if her parents are going to be there. She walked off the bus into the terminal, not knowing what to expect. And not one of the thousand scenes that had played out in her mind prepared her for what she was about to see. For there in that concrete-walled and plastic-chaired bus terminal stood a group of about 40 brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles and great-aunts and her great-grandmother and a great-great-grandmother. They were all wearing these goofy party hats and blowing these noisemakers. And taped against the entire wall of the terminal was this homemade sign that read, "Welcome Home." And out of the crowd of well-wishers, there was her dad. She stared at him with tears that just quivered in her eyes like hot mercury. And she began her prepared speech. "Dad, I'm sorry." He placed his fingers against her mouth and he said, "Hush, child. We've got no time for that. We've got no time for apologies. You'll be late for your party. See, there's a banquet waiting for you at home. A banquet waiting for you at home." That's the heart of a father, isn't it? We're not going to talk about what you've gone through. We're not going to talk about your past. Because you're showing me how willing you are to start again. There's a party waiting for you at home. Now, I don't know where you've been, how far you may have walked. I don't know what's really happened in your life. But know this, the heart of the Father is the same. He's here to welcome you home. He's prepared this huge feast in heaven just waiting for you. Because the Bible says when one sinner comes to repentance, all heaven rejoices. He's waiting. For what? Your decision. Your choice. He's made all the preparations. All you need to do is say yes. Yes. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask if that's any of you that want to make that choice, I'll give you a chance to do so. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, so much. For indeed the way that you love us. You love us so much, Lord, that you've already laid out the plan for our lives, this master blueprint that will lead us to a life of abundance, a life of fullness. But Father, you've done all the work. Now you're just waiting for us to accept that invitation to come home. Lord, we know that you're not interested in our past. Oh, you know about our past. But you're more interested in where we are today, aren't you? And are we willing to make that choice? Are we willing to say yes to you? Father, I pray that as we open up our hearts to you, that you indeed will begin to walk into that new life with us. Let it begin today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there may be some of you here who have not yet made that decision. I want to give you a chance right now. It's a quiet and a real personal moment for you, but it's a choice that is so essential that you need to make before you walk into the abundant life. No, you may not know everything there is to know about Jesus Christ, and that's okay. Just know this. When you're so willing to enter that relationship, He will open up the floodgates of heaven for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be your closest friend to the ends of the age. He will be there to love you like no one else in this world can love you. He will be there to forgive you like no one else can forgive you. If that's you and you just want to say, yes, I want to enter into that relationship, and you've never done it before, do it right now. All you have to do is raise a hand. By doing so, you're saying, yes, that's me. Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Yeah, I see you right here in the front. Good. God bless you. On the side there, good. God bless you, brother. God sees your heart. Any others? Keep your hands up there in the middle, right here. Yeah, don't let this time go by. You got to choose life. Don't let life choose it for you. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're saying yes, right there. Yes, right here in front. God bless you. Back there, good. A lot of hands going up. All right, you can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I'm a Christian, and I've said yes to Him before, but it's about time that I say yes to His promises, and I'm going to live my life according to His ways. Not the world's ways anymore. I want to turn from the influences of the world, and I want to walk with Him. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now, and you're saying, yeah, that's me. I want to walk in the ways of God. Yeah. Good. Put your hands down. If you said yes for the first time, we want to celebrate with you with a free gift. It's called a Yes Packet. And as you leave, look for anyone holding it up. It has all the materials you need to continue your walk with the Lord. It's our free gift to celebrate this precious moment with you. But before we go, we're going to take communion. I'm going to just say a prayer, and then we'll take communion together. Would you continue praying with me? Father, You saw the hearts and the hands that were lifted up. Lord God, I just pray that You will continue to pour into their lives as they develop their relationship and grow in their relationship with You. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Ushers, go ahead and pass the bread and the juice. And as you receive it, would you take a piece of bread and a cup of juice and use these next few moments to just meditate upon the Word of the Lord and how you want to develop that relationship with Him. And then I'll come back out and we'll take communion together.
Took the fall, and You thought of me.
The Lord was in the upper room with his disciples. And he took the bread and he said, "This is my body which was broken for you." And he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you do this, remember me." As often as you do this, remember the relationship you have with me. As often as you do this, remember how much I love you. Now go, walk in my ways. Not according to the ways of the world, but the ways that I've shown you. As often as you do this. Would you hold the cup and the bread in front of you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, so much for the greatest gift of all. Where you came and you lived among us, and you walked and instructed us in how to live. And then, Father, you did something that no one else would ever, ever do. You took upon yourself our sins. And you've allowed yourself to be sacrificed as the ultimate and final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And Father, it didn't come easy for you. You suffered and you bled and you died. Father, you suffered humiliation and the pain of crucifixion. And it was so that we can be released from our sins and we can live a new life, a life of abundance. But Father, you didn't just stay on that cross. You came down. And although you were placed in a tomb, Father, you rose again to show us how much power there is available to those who believe. And Father, as we take the communion today, Father, we're going to remember that. We're going to reestablish our relationship with you so we too can live a life that is victorious, a life of confidence, a life of fullness and abundance. So, Father, we pause now and we just thank you for the ultimate gift of all. In Jesus' name. Take the bread. Take the juice. As you leave this morning, there'll be ushers with receptacles, and you can place your cup in there. But I just love coming to communion where we can just come together as a family to begin a new relationship with Him and to just walk in His ways. I want us to be a church that says yes. Whatever you want, Lord, my answer is yes. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Would you pray with me one last time? Father, thank you, Lord, again for a time of instruction, a time of inspiration. But Lord, let us now apply it to our lives and leave changed and transformed into a new life with you. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done. We look forward to what you're going to do and continue to do in our lives. We give you our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Say it together, amen, amen. You seal that to your hearts with a clap offering. bless you. Have a great week. Would you love on someone as you go?